So we're going to have a short reading and a short talk from the Bible. And it's a passage that's famous because it talks about what we remember at Christmas time. It tells us what happened and why it happened and what we should do about it. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's God's word. What does your name mean? What does your name mean? It's a rhetorical question. My name, I discovered it when I was a little boy. I was reading a dictionary that my mother had bought me, and I had great pleasure telling my mother that my name meant God's gracious gift. And she looked at me and said, of course it does, son. So, yeah, well, no, scouse parenting, that, you see. Names mean something. And in the Bible, when someone is given a special name by God, it meant something very, very important that we need to take note of. And in the passage we've just read, there's two names for Jesus that really, if they're true, and I believe they are, define everything. They're so important that we can't afford to miss it. He's given two names in this passage. Jesus and Emmanuel. Jesus. Why is he called Jesus? Now, Jesus, he probably would never have been called that, because the New Testament was written in Greek and Jesus was Jewish. The Hebrew, which is the language of the Jewish people, the religious language at this point, he would have been called Joshua. But because Alexander the Great conquered the Middle East, they all spoke Greek as the international language. So if it wasn't for Alexander the Great, we would be calling him Joshua of Nazareth. You know? But that's why we call him Jesus. It's because of a translation. I only throw that out there because people, you know, everybody's an expert on the internet these days, you know, and you see that meme. How did somebody in the Middle East 2,000 years ago find people called Peter and Matthew, as if we can't translate names? John is a Jewish name. Peter's a Jewish name. It means Kephar. Matthew, Matityahu, all those can be translated. So don't let people put you off. But the most important name in all the world is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He will save his people from their sins. Sin is breaking God's law, not doing what God commands, and doing the things that he forbids. And we've all done it. We've all done it. There's not a day goes by. Even the good things we do, sometimes we do it because we feel like we should. Sometimes we do it because we're nagged into doing it. Kids, how many times does your mom have to tell you to tidy your room? Or maybe you do it first time. Maybe you don't even need to be told. You just get up, tidy, and say, "Mother, look." Getting lots of cheeky smiles over there. Yeah. And some raised eyebrows from ladies looking at little ones. I'm not going to point anyone out. But even the good things we don't do them. And remember, God's law is this, that we love God and we love our neighbours as ourselves. So when we don't do that, even when we do the right thing, we've sinned. And because of that, we're separated from God. And there's no good deed we can do to make ourselves right with him. So what did God do? He didn't wash his hands of us and say, "Well, you've messed up, I'm done with you." He had a rescue mission. And his name is Jesus. He lived the life that we should have lived and died to pay for our sins. So that if we accept him as our saviour, as our rescuer, that's a song, is a saviour is somebody who rescues us, we can be friends with God, children of God, and receive the gift of eternal life. Now you might think, lots of people do, and it's a fair question, come on, all this sounds a bit far-fetched. I mean, Jesus was a bloke who lived 2,000 years ago, long before I was born. And nobody's death can pay for everybody's sins, surely. Well, that's where the second name of our passage is important. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what we sang in O Come All Ye Faithful. God of God, light of light. God, the Christians believe God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son took on human form and lived the life on earth that we live. And what a time. I mean, we think, and it is, what's going on in the Middle East now is harrowing. It was going on 2,000 years ago as well. The Jewish people were occupied by Rome. And like all empires, they said, "We're going to show you Jewish people how to be civilized. And we're going to butcher you, humiliate you, degrade you, and do whatever we want to you. And you'll be just like us, and then you'll be civilized." He lived in a world before painkillers. In a world before any of the comforts of modern life that we have and take for granted. And as God in the flesh, he died on the cross for our sins. And that's why his death is of infinite value. Because it's God and man in one person. His precious blood is so precious. It can pay for everything that we've ever done wrong because he's God in the flesh. He has the power to save because he's God in the flesh. He has the power to forgive sins. It caused massive controversy in the Gospels. If you read them over Christmas. People said, "How can he forgive sins? Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins." Yes, you're right. Only God can forgive sins. And he's forgiving them. Put two and two together. So this Jesus promises to rescue us, to reconcile us to God, and promises to be with us forever. God with us. Now he's in heaven exalted high, but he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to comfort us, to keep us in the faith, and to keep us going through life. And at the last, to bring us into eternal glory, where we'll see his face, where all will be made right, where every tear will be wiped away. And you think this party was good today, wait till that day, when there's joy everlasting, when we see him when we rejoice at what he's done, at who he is, how much he loves us, and what he's done for us, the great gift of eternal life. And what is eternal life? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Will you come to Christ this very day? You young people, you are our guests. Maybe you go to church and you've never heard the gospel explained like this. The gospel means good news. It's good news what happened. Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day, and man can live forevermore. Will you take Christ as your Saviour? Will you submit to him as Lord? And will you rejoice in him, delight in him, and follow him all the days of your life, and receive the blessed hope of eternal life? The gospel of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest Christmas present you'll ever receive. And it's the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving forever and ever and ever and ever. There's a bottomless pit of grace and riches of grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Forever. And heaven will be heaven. Why? Because we'll see him. And his name will be on our forehead, and we'll rejoice forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you came down to earth from heaven, you who are God and Lord of all. Thank you that you died for our sins after living this perfect life of obedience to God. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd move on the hearts of the people here. Pray for any who don't know you. Pray that you would open their hearts to receive your word, and that they would follow you all the days of their life. And we do pray for this Christmas time. May we all have a lovely Christmas. May we all know your presence with us. May we, even those who are sad at this time, know that you love them. And may we rejoice in all the blessings you've given us in this life, but in the person of Christ the most. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.